Turn to Proverbs 7 and verse 3. Proverbs 7:3 says, "Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart." Let's look at the first one there, "bind them upon thy fingers." So he's referring to the commandments and the law of God there in verse 2. "Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye." That's the them, the commandments and the law. So the commandments and the law of God are to be bound to us. To bind is to tie fast, to make fast with a tie, to fasten, tie up, to tie fast to or on or upon. So in other words, the scriptures are to be with us at all times as if they were tied to us. Because if you tie something to you, then it's there all the time, right? It's like when you put the wedding ring on and it's with you all the time and people can see it and they know you're married, right? And you might not even, you don't even have to think about putting it on because it's just always on, right? It's just part of your attire. And that's the way the scriptures should be for us. So some of this is going to be review because Solomon is saying something that he's basically said before. So God's commandments are to be bound to three different parts of our person: our neck, our heart, and our fingers slash hands. Let's just look at all three of them quickly. So first of all, the scriptures are to be bound to our necks in Proverbs 3:3. He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart." Mercy and truth, of course, are found in the law. They're in verse 1. So the law is supposed to be bound around our neck. And if you'll remember from my comments back when we were looking at that passage, our neck signifies the place on our person that is most easily seen. It's right below the face. The face is definitely the focal point. Whenever you see somebody, you're looking at their face, or at least you should be. And the neck is really close to that. So it's something that's you don't have to go looking for. When you see a person, you're going to notice their neck. And it's typically not covered up or clothed, unless you have a turtleneck or like a thing like Bev has on. But typically, your neck is exposed a lot of times. So binding the law of God around our necks is symbolic of letting our light shine to others as we live according to God's precepts. So it's right there for everybody to see. That's what I think, anyway. I mean, I don't actually have a Bible verse that says that, but it makes sense to me, anyway. If you've got a better idea, let me know. And then the second part of our person that the law of God is to be bound to is our heart. Proverbs 6 and verse 21. "Bind them," that is the commandment and the law, "bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck." So our heart signifies our inward man, consisting of our will, intellect, and emotions. And I'm not going to go back through everything I did in Proverbs 6:21, but I talked about that quite a bit back then. So binding the law of God on our hearts signifies that it is in our memories and it is a vital part of our inward lives. So it's not only on the outside, it's not only outward, but it's within. It's actually part of who we are deep down inside. If we love the Word of God, it's bound in our hearts. And then the third thing is what Proverbs 7:3 tells us: bind them upon thy fingers. And also hands. Your hands are on your fingers. Your fingers are part of your hands. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 8, tells us that they're to be bound upon our hands. It says, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets upon thine eyes." Between thine eyes. So they're to be a sign. So you can't literally bind them on your hand, but it's symbolic of something. It's whenever the scriptures are part of your life and they're bound on your hands, they're going to be visible. Now, our fingers and hands signify our work and our vocation. Let me give you two verses. Psalm 8 and verse 3 shows that our fingers represent our work, or they represent a person's work, put it that way. Psalm 8, verse 3. David said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Yeah, makes sense. You look at the stars and the planets and all the heavenly host, that the Lord created with his fingers. And then you think, what is man? We are just a tiny little speck of nothingness in this universe. What is man? We're the work of thy fingers. If you think about it, most people do most, if the vast majority of their work with their fingers. Even if you work a job, a mental job like me, what do I use? My fingers to type or to write, mainly typing with me. But our fingers are what we use to write, to type, to do all kinds of manual labor. Doctors use their fingers. Scientists use their fingers. Everybody uses their fingers. You lop your hands off. There's a lot of things, like most things, you're not going to be able to do.
And to find ways for those people to do things has been an immense task.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't been able to do anything until all this computer
prosthetics.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And prosthetics have been invented here,
yeah,
for literally thousands of years. Somebody had to do everything,
yeah,
for them.
Yep. Yeah, it'd be absolutely terrible. Our hands, likewise, signify our vocation. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 34, Paul said that he had worked with his hands and provided for himself. Acts chapter 20, in verse 34. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. So Paul wasn't afraid to work. There were a couple of different churches that he didn't even take any wages or gifts or anything from to give them an example. The Thessalonians were one of them because they were lazy. They were a good church, but they were lazy. 2 Thessalonians 3, or there were some among them anyway, and Paul didn't take anything from them to show them to work with their own hands. Now, our fingers and our hands are also symbolic of our spiritual warfare. Look in Psalm 144 and verse 1. And then once we get these two points out of the way, then we can draw an application here. Psalm 144 and verse 1. It says, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You can't go to war without hands and fingers either. Try to go, I mean, I guess you could punch somebody with your stubs or something, but it'd be pretty difficult to fight. I guess if you were good with your feet or something, you could fight, but it'd be pretty difficult. You can't hold a weapon or anything without hands and fingers.
You would be at a distinct disadvantage.
You certainly would be. And then compare that with a spiritual application of this in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 5. So the Lord teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight. And though we shouldn't be fighting, unless it's in self-defense or something, we shouldn't be fighting physically with people, but as Christians, we have a fight to fight, and we need to learn how to fight. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not swords or spears or guns, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, he uses terms that have to do with war, like weapons, warfare, pulling down, casting down, bringing into captivity. Right? Those are all war, battle terms. But they're applied to our Christian lives. They're applied to spiritual battles, to ideas, to doctrine, to fighting the war against sin in our members, and keeping our bodies under subjection, right, so that we don't become castaways. That's the war that we have to learn how to fight. And it takes practice. Just like you got to practice and train to be a soldier, you got to practice and train to be a Christian, to be able to fight the spiritual battles, to put on the whole armor of God, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6, that we can stand and withstand in the evil day. You have to have faith and salvation and the Word of God and prayer and the gospel and all those things in Ephesians chapter 6 in order to make it through this fight. So binding the law of God on our fingers and hands signifies that our work and our warfare are done according to the Word of God. And we should. We need to do our work according to the Word of God. The Word of God tells us how to work, tells us how to be good employees, how to be good servants, or be good masters, either one. We ought to work according to the Word of God, and we ought to war according to the Word of God. Our fingers and hands are also visible to us nearly at all times, unlike our own necks, so binding God's commandments to them is symbolic of having the Scriptures ever in front of our eyes. Because if you think about it, if it's bound around your neck, other people can see it. You can't see it. If you have a necklace on, you can't even see your own necklace unless you, I don't think you could, unless it was really long, right? Because you can't see your own neck, unless you're looking in the mirror. But if it's bound on your fingers, see, I have rings on. I can see my rings. I see them all the time. That's why I wear them, because they're pretty. I like them. But I don't wear a necklace. I don't have one. Or maybe I have an old silver one or something. But anyway, I guess I don't get to see it, so why would I wear it? I don't know. But you get to see what's on your hands. So having the Word of God bound on your fingers is something that you can see, that you can be reminded of all the time. I'm reminded of my grandpa. Every time I look at this ring, I got this ring from my grandma. It was my grandpa's ring. After he died, she wanted me to have it. So every time I look at it, I think of my grandpa. Well, whenever you have the law of God bound on your hands, it's like you can see it. You can be reminded of it frequently. And then he says, write them upon the table of thine heart. So bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. So writing the commandments of God upon our hearts is another way of saying to hide them in our hearts. And the Scripture teaches us to do this in Psalm 119:11. It says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So when you write something down, you do so to remember it, right? So if you've written something down, it's a way of hiding it. You can keep it for future use. If you don't write something down, then a lot of times you're going to forget about it. But you can write it down and then keep it somewhere, and it's going to stay preserved. So that's why writing it in your heart, hiding it in your heart are referring to the same thing. Psalm 37:31 says, the law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. And the one is the reason for the other. These are not unrelated, just, oh, the law is in his heart and his steps don't slide. Lucky him. No, the law is in his heart and therefore his steps don't slide. That's why he's not backsliding into sin, because the law of God's in his heart. You see somebody that has backslidden into sin, I will show you a person that the Word of God had seeped out of their heart and it wasn't in there anymore. They weren't thinking about it anymore. So when the Scriptures are written upon our hearts, we can then think and talk of God's Word all the time, throughout the day, even if we don't have it in front of us. In Deuteronomy 6:6-7, we've read these verses here a few times in this study. I'll tell you what, these are important verses. They're not a bad idea to read them frequently. Deuteronomy 6:6-7, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. See, they got to be in your heart first. You ain't going to be able to teach them to your children or anybody else if they're not in your heart. And thou shalt, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And I just said it the other day, but if you had big scrolls back then, and probably most of the Jews didn't even have their own copy, they were probably at the temple with the priest, or the king had his own copy, but chances are, when they're walking by the way and when they're going about their daily life, they are not carrying around scrolls of the law of Moses, obviously. It had to be in their heart. And it's the same with us. So therefore, the commandments are ever with us if they're hidden and written in the heart. They're ever with us to guide us, whether we have the Bible in front of us or not. Proverbs 6 and verse 22. And I know you've heard this before, but like I said, Solomon repeated himself, so do I. Proverbs 6:22, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. So that takes care of 3. Verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. And we'll look at verse 4 next.
I think it's...
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.